In the book, The Owl Who Called My Name, it tells the story of a young priest who, shortly after being ordained, his bishop finds out he has a terminal illness. He's going to die soon. So, not sure what to do with him, he sends him to work with the Inuit tribes in northeastern Canada. Now, this is quite a journey. In order to get to this tribal village, he has to sail along the coast from New York north and then take a boat along this river inward to the tribal land itself. So he takes his journey and comes to the tribe. The tribe is leery of him. He's a Westerner. And so they're kind of standoffish a little bit. The church is in disrepair, the rectory is in ruins, so he starts his first year rebuilding. Rebuilding the church so they can have a place for services, and then rebuilding his rectory so he has a place to live. And as he does this, they kind of watch him. A few help a little bit, but largely he does it all by himself. As the years progress and he continues his ministry there, they're still very leery. They have their funerals out in the woods, they have all their special celebrations out in the woods, and never include him. Actually make a point to make sure he's not there. Eventually he develops a friendship. He develops a friendship with the boatman who takes him up and down the river. So as he's greeting the kids as they go off to school in New York, or he picks up supplies for the tribe, or goes back to see his bishop, he goes along this river. So they develop a friendship. But halfway through the book, he comments. He said, "As we're navigating the river through all the sticks and stones and logs in the river, we are able to communicate without a word being spoken, for there's a trust between us that words were not necessary." So he developed such a powerful friendship with this one guy that it really changed his whole experience, and it made it so he had this very trusting relationship. Well, he continued to minister, and eventually they started to take a notice in him, started coming to his church more. They started to allow him to see more of their rituals, and by the end of the book, he was fully accepted, to the point that he does die in the end, and they have a full funeral by the tribal rites because of him. So it's a beautiful story about companionship, how we work together. And that's what I want to focus on today. We need to be like companions, working with our faith together, working together in our faith. So often we kind of be our own little isolated groups, or we think we can just do this one thing, come to Mass on Sunday, and that's enough. It's not true. We have to do quite a bit to really invigorate our faith, to be encouraged by it, to be able to let it flower in such a way where it brings us joy. Today's parables are good examples of what I mean. So the first two in our gospel are about people who lose things. Now, if you're reading this and thinking about our own lives, they're kind of silly. If you have 100 cows, you're not going to leave 99 alone in the middle of the wilderness to go find that one cow. You're going to lose them all. So it's kind of ridiculous when you think about it. More than likely, if you found that cow, you'd be like, "Get back in line, cow. I need you back in the rest of the herd." But this guy's different. Same with the woman. If we lost $100, cost of a coin in their times, we wouldn't be like, "Oh good, now that I found my $100, let's throw a party. Spend it all right away." That's not how it works. But Luke makes a point for us through Jesus' parables. He makes a point of the joy that comes with that. There's something that radiates the joy of something being lost and found. And that's the joy we need to have. Each of them rejoices. Luke's gospel is a gospel of joy. How often do we rejoice at what God has done? How often do we look forward to hearing the story of someone who has experienced God and let that joy radiate into us? We should be people of joy, realizing God is with us. He wants to be with us. The same thing works with the story of the prodigal son. What does the father do when his younger son, who basically disowned him, has returned? He throws a massive feast, a huge feast, and they party, probably for a couple days, because he has that joy. The lost has been found. Same thing works for us. We want that joy. And the joy comes from living our faith well in community with the rest of our brothers and sisters. The exact opposite, however, can happen, as we saw from our first reading. Here in the book of Exodus, we have the Israelites now at the base of Sinai. Moses is MIA up the mountain for 40 days, and they're bored. Let's be very blunt. They're very bored. There's nothing to do. You can't really pasture the sheep. There's no town or village. They're stuck there in the desert. But what they really want is they want some way to worship the God who has saved them, brought them out of Egypt through the desert to this point. They want something to worship. So what do? They make their own God. The same challenge works for us. Often, if we're not careful, we will substitute who God really is for what we want him to be, We make God in our image instead of being made in his image. So the challenge there is always that if we're in community, we're wrestling with each other, we're willing to challenge each other, we can come to know God as he is. Because when we come to know him as he is, we are filled with joy. If we come to know a God we want to make, a fictitious one, we're left in sorrow and distress because nothing ever happens. So that's our big challenge there. We have to work together to come to know who God is. And so I challenge you, what does it look like to be companions? The nice thing is, we've already done part of it. The word companion comes from two Latin words, cum, with, and panis, bread. Companions are people you break bread with. Guess what we're doing here? Breaking bread. Yay, we've started it. But look at the larger picture of things. We're not just this little community out in the middle of nowhere doing our own thing. We are brothers and sisters with over 1 billion people worldwide. You can find a Catholic church almost anywhere. There's even 4 on Antarctica. Gives you a sense. 4 different churches. There used to be 6, but 2 closed. Nevertheless, you can go almost anywhere and find a Catholic church, which means we have brothers and sisters everywhere. We are part of this global, massive church that we should be walking and journeying together. So what's the first step? First step is very simple. Most of you know pretty much everyone here, but every so often there's a new person. Do we greet them? Do we know everyone well? The simplest thing is, because we're scared of learning someone's name, start by saying, "Hi, my name is." Most people will give their name in response, then you don't feel so awkward and weird. It's very simple. Do we know everyone? Then the next step is, how well do we know everyone? Do we know the joys that come with life? That's something we don't experience as much. We talk about sorrows, or we hide them. We talk about day-to-day things like the weather and the wind. But what about our joys? What about our experience of God that make our life have meaning and worth, have a color to it? We should be sharing that too. In the same way, we should be sharing our sorrows and distress. What am I struggling with? How can my brothers and sisters help me in my challenges that I'm not wandering alone, but I'm supported by an entire community? And then, bridging from that, our ultimate goal is not just to be this happy-go-lucky kumbaya community. Our goal is to know God. Our goal is to really understand him as he is, to build that faith on him as he is, because that's where our joy comes from. We have a God who is with us, a God who loves us, a God who wants to walk every step with us. And that's quite a challenge. It's difficult because we have to come to know him. So I challenge you, start this path. Why not? Come to know each other. Let's work together as a community to build a community of faith, where we can support each other, see God working, build our faith together into something that supports all of us and brings the joy we really want, because it brings God into our lives. It makes him apparent to us, makes him real, helps us to hear him, and that's the cause of our joy. That's what brings us our happiness and our wonder, because we have a God who is with us.